Have you ever been in one of those situations, maybe feeling really low or just completely misunderstood, and you just feel utterly alone, even if people are around?
Oh, absolutely. Or maybe you've been the one trying to help, trying to comfort someone, and you can just tell your words are, oh, they're falling flat.
Or worse, right? Like you accidentally made it worse somehow. It's such a common thing, that feeling of isolation when you're suffering, and how hard it is to really connect with empathy.
It really is.
So today we're doing a deep dive into a really ancient text, but one that feels incredibly raw and honestly quite modern in its emotion. We're looking at the book of Job, specifically chapter 16. This isn't a story that smooths over the hard edges. It's messy. It's full of pain and frustration.
That's for sure.
And our mission today really is to unpack Job's intense lament here. Try to understand the wisdom kind of buried in his experience. And then this is the important part. Explore what this story, this really personal cry, means for you today.
Right. How can it maybe shine a light on empathy and remind us that even when we feel completely unseen in our pain, maybe, just maybe, we actually are.
Exactly.
And Job 16, it catches Job at such a critical point. I mean, utterly desperate. Everything's gone, family, wealth, health, the lot.
Yeah.
And he's physically and emotionally just shattered. And here, he's responding to his friends who've come to comfort him, but well, he sees their attempts as not just unhelpful, but actively harmful.
Yeah, it's intense. This chapter really opens a window into just raw anguish, the kind of pain that feels almost unspeakable.
But speaks volumes, doesn't it? Offers lessons that still hit hard today.
It really does. Okay, so let's unpack this. Job doesn't pull any punches, does he? I mean, straight away, verse 2, he calls his friends miserable comforters.
Right off the bat, no messing around.
That's pretty direct.
Yeah.
What do you think it was about their comfort that made it so miserable for him? Was it like bad intentions? Or just the way their words landed?
Well, it seems pretty clear he felt their words just made things worse. They didn't soothe anything, they deepened the wound. You know, their attempts at comfort, which maybe felt like judgment to him or trying to explain why he was suffering, it just added to his agony.
Yeah.
And that's where we hit this first big insight, I think. Empty words can wound deeply. It sounds obvious, maybe, but think about it.
Yeah.
When someone's truly suffering, the absolute last thing they often need is someone trying to rationalize it, give simple fixes, or even worse, hint that it's somehow their own fault.
Oh, that's brutal. It's like pouring salt in the wound. Makes them feel even more unseen, more invalidated.
Exactly. He literally asked them, will vain words have an end, or will your empty speeches never end, depending on the translation?
It's like he's saying, stop talking. You're not helping. You're hurting.
Precisely. But he doesn't just, you know, complain. He actually turns it around and gives us his idea of what real comfort looks like.
Ah, right. This is where it gets really interesting. He says, if the roles were reversed, he wouldn't just pile on words or shake his head at them.
No.
Instead, and this phrasing is just so powerful, he says, I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Verse 5.
Strengthen and assuage, not explain, not correct, not judge.
That's a huge difference.
It really is. And that leads to this idea of compassion over correction. Job's basically giving us a blueprint here for genuine empathy.
How so?
Well, he's saying focus on building the person up, comforting them in their pain, not trying to fix them or explain away why they're hurting or offering those easy, often hollow answers.
So it's about meeting them right where they are, in the thick of it, not trying to pull them out with logic or theology.
Exactly. Not where you think they should be or where it would be more comfortable for you if they were. It's about presence.
But that's hard, though, isn't it? Sometimes, as friends or family, we feel like we should offer advice or point things out if we think it'll help. How do you balance that urge to fix with just pure compassion?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's tough. Job's friends, they came armed with their theological arguments, their sense of order.
Yeah, they had answers.
They thought they did. But what Job desperately needed and what he models as the alternative was just presence, a gentle word, something strengthening, not more reasons why this horror was happening.
And it just gets worse for him, doesn't it? Because after dealing with his friends, he turns his focus upwards towards
Yeah.
God.
And the language he uses, it's just raw, it's visceral. It's this cry of feeling utterly betrayed, abandoned by God himself.
He doesn't hold back. He says God has made him weary, desolate, filled him with wrinkles that are like a witness against him.
Yeah, like his suffering itself testifies against his character, which must have been agonizing.
And then it gets even more violent. God has torn him in his wrath, gnashed his teeth at him, set him up like a target. Verse 12 is brutal. Taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark.
Just picture that imagery. Shaken to pieces like a rag doll. He feels completely broken, run down by God as an enemy. It's harrowing, like you said.
It really is, the depth of that agony.
It's almost unimaginable. And yet, and this is crucial, right in the middle of describing all this horror, Job holds fast to his integrity.
Right. He says, not for any injustice in mine hands. Also, my prayer is pure. That's verse 17.
Despite everything he feels God is doing to him, he insists he hasn't done anything to deserve it. His hands are clean. His prayers are sincere.
Which brings up that massive, timeless question the whole book wrestles with, doesn't it? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why this suffering when it seems so unjust?
Exactly. Job doesn't get the cosmic answer right then, but he is absolutely certain about his own heart, his own innocence in the matter.
So, okay. He feels attacked by God, misunderstood by friends. He's in agony, insists he's innocent. Where does he go from there? It feels like rock bottom.
It really does. But then, right out of that despair, Job says something completely unexpected, something incredibly powerful. It's like this tiny flicker of light in the darkness.
What is it?
He declares, "Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high." That's verse 19.
Wow. So even though he feels attacked by God, he appeals to God as his witness.
Yes. It's this profound conviction deep down that despite how things look, despite how things feel, there's a higher truth, a heavenly record where his real story, his integrity, is known.
That's amazing. And he doesn't just state it intellectually, right? He also says, while his friends are scorning him, mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Verse 20.
Mm-hmm. It's not just an abstract belief. It's a raw, personal turning towards God, even in his pain, even in his confusion, letting the tears flow directly to the one he feels has wounded him, but also the only one who truly knows his heart.
So this is where we get that idea of God as the final witness.
Precisely. Even when everyone around you gets it wrong, misjudges you, misunderstands your motives, Job clings to this belief that God sees the truth. God knows his heart. God knows his pure prayer.
And think about what that means for us today. When you feel totally misrepresented or maybe falsely accused at work or even within your family.
Yeah.
This idea that there's a higher court, a perfect understanding that can be incredibly reassuring, can't it?
Absolutely. It's the thought that God sees your integrity, sees every tear, knows the truth even when no human does. And holding on to that, that can really strengthen your faith. It gives you a foundation to keep going, to maintain your integrity, your obedience, even when it feels like the whole world is against you.
It provides that deep solace, that sense that ultimate justice and understanding rests somewhere beyond human limits.
It really does. It empowers you to stand firm.
And then he finishes this part of his speech with another deep cry, doesn't he? He longs for someone to plead his case.
Yes, in verse 21. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor.
He wants an advocate, someone to stand up for him, to argue his case before God.
Right. This speaks to that deep, universal human longing, what we might call hope for intercession or a cry for advocacy.
Explain that a bit more.
Well, it's that fundamental need we all have for justice, for understanding, for someone to bridge the gap between our messy human reality and the overwhelming challenges we face, or even, as Job feels, the judgment of the divine.
Someone to basically say, hey, listen to this person's side of the story. Understand their heart.
Exactly. It highlights how deeply we crave being truly heard, truly understood, not just by people, but on a cosmic level. Someone to vouch for us when we feel helpless.
It's incredible. These words, thousands of years old, about such intense personal suffering, they still hit so hard today.
They really do.
So let's shift gears slightly. How can Job's experience here, his pain and his insights, actually inform your life, your interactions right now?
Okay, well, the first takeaway seems pretty direct, but maybe we don't practice it enough. Be a real comforter, meaning when someone you know is hurting, try to resist that automatic impulse to jump in with explanations or quick fixes or, you know, theological answers.
Even if you think you have the right answer.
Especially then, maybe. Prioritize just being present. Offer a listening ear. Offer genuine comfort, not those empty platitudes Job hated so much. Before you speak, just pause. Ask yourself, are these words truly going to heal, or could they possibly, unintentionally, cause more harm?
It's about presence over pronouncements.
Perfectly put. It's not about having all the answers. It's about sharing the burden through presence.
And that ties into the next point, right? empathy before advice.
Yes. Job's story screams this at us. Really try to walk a mile, maybe more, like an emotional marathon, sometimes in the other person's shoes, before you utter a word of advice or judgment.
Which is so countercultural today, isn't it? Especially online.
Oh, absolutely. Think about social media. Instant opinions, quick judgments. Job reminds us, listen before you tweet. Support before you judge. Seek genuine understanding before you rush in with solutions.
Value their experience, their raw feeling, over your need to be right or to fix it instantly.
That's it, exactly.
And then for those times when you are the one feeling like Job, completely misunderstood, maybe judged unfairly, what comfort can we take?
That third point, God knows the whole story. Find solace, real solace, in that core belief that God sees your true heart, your real motives, your integrity. He sees the tears you cry when no one else is looking.
That understanding, that divine perspective, can be a source of incredible strength, can it?
Absolutely. It strengthens faith because it provides this deep sense of justice and peace, even when human understanding fails completely. Knowing your true self is seen and known by God, that empowers you. It helps you keep walking in integrity, keep faith, keep obeying what you know is right, no matter what anyone else says or thinks.
It's like an anchor in the storm of misunderstanding.
It is. A foundation for enduring faith.
So just to quickly pull it together, we've talked about the danger of those empty words, the real power and challenge of true empathy, the comfort in knowing God sees your heart, your tears, and that universal ache for someone to stand up for us for advocacy.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's so relevant. Job's story, especially this chapter, it just lays bare the reality of human suffering, our deep need for real connection.
Mm-hmm.
But it also offers this profound comfort that even in the absolute depths, believing your true self, your integrity, your pain is known on high. Mm. That provides such a crucial foundation for faith, for resilience, for continuing on.
Absolutely. So as you go about your week, maybe reflect on this. We want to leave you with this question, something to mull over perhaps. Mm. Have you ever, in your deepest moments of despair or frustration or feeling misunderstood, felt like Job, crying out, maybe silently, maybe not, to a witness in heaven, just holding on to the hope that even if no one else gets it, your true heart is seen and known?